Lord. Well, it's good to be back. I again just want to thank everybody for filling in the gap for us while we were gone. I've heard my wife, I heard she brought the fire on Sunday. And hallelujah. That's good. I get that at home. Amen. Not like that. Yeah. Not really. She is good to me, and I appreciate Bob being kind of instant in season on Wednesday night. Fred was up to his eyebrows in alligators and couldn't find the drain to the swamp. That was good, wasn't it? You can write that down. Amen. Let's see, who else preached? Mike preached on Sunday night. I'm glad for that. We have a great team. I believe God is establishing a team of people that can bring His Word, amen, and fulfill the same vision that I believe God has given me for our body and for this area. And so just be prepared that I'm not going to wait until I'm gone to have them speak more often. Is this working at all? You're breaking up, man. Yeah, we was on one of our hikes, and Richard called me on our little handheld radios that we have, and was sharing with me what he was having for lunch up on the mountain, and I told him that he was breaking up. Because I didn't want to listen to it again, what he was having. Because it was really, really yummy stuff. So I don't want to be breaking up, Stephen. You make me come in crisp and clear this morning. Amen. Crisp. 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 Amen. How many of you wish I'd go hunting again? Get out of here. All right. What does it mean to live in the light? We're going to talk about that this morning because it's one thing to just exist. It's one thing to just go through the motions. Kathy talked about our worship being going through the motions. But I want to talk this morning about living in the light. We have lights on today. We got one that's out, and it's amazing how much darker that corner is with just one light out. Think about where you're seated this morning. Think about the light of Christ illuminating through your life and the area where you're seated this morning. If you can look around, and we are creatures of habit. Amen. And I can almost stand at the door and guide you into this place and seat you where you sit almost every Sunday. I could bring each one of you in here and be within a chair or two. Because we're creatures of habit. And so you can look around where you're seated this morning and you can see that maybe somebody's missing. There's a big void over here by Susie because Glenn's not here. Amen? And there's a multitude that usually are over there that are gone. This center section here, Mike and Sharon are gone, and John and Nicole are not here. And so, you know, you can look around and you can begin to see that it's really a little darker in each of these spots because somebody's not there letting their light shine for the glory of God. Amen. Can I say that? Let me tell you this. When Jesus was on earth, His divine life illuminated the inner life of every one of His followers. And church, we need to learn. The devil's going to try and kill me today. I'm sure of it. We need to let His light shine through us. Amen. Father, I need Your touch this morning. God, I ask that you would clear my throat out, Father, and allow me to breathe and allow me to speak and to enunciate the words and to bring emphasis in my voice, God, where you would have me emphasize certain things without choking to death. And I pray, God, that you would just anoint me from the top of my head to the soles of my feet, God, that everything that would be a distraction to me, God, would simply be broken off, that it would fall off, that it would not have its way in this place. I pray, God, for every one of us to be not in tune necessarily to what I have to say, but what you have to say through me this morning. God, may your Holy Ghost guide this service from this point forward. We know you've been here in worship, but God, I need you to take a coal from the altar this morning and touch these lips of clay, God, and purify this vessel, that what I say, God, would be pleasing to you, that what I say today, God, would speak to somebody, that would bring life and freedom into our lives, Lord, that we could walk out of this place today saying, listen, if I die on my way home, I know I'm going to make heaven. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. So when Jesus again was on the earth, it was his divine life. How many of you realize that Jesus is the light of the world? He's the light of the world. And his life illuminates his followers. Everywhere he was present, he gave light. He gave light. How many of you realize that the sun's not going to be shining in heaven? The sun will be shining in heaven. There will be no shadows, no turning in heaven. Do you realize that? The light of Jesus will illuminate. Think about this for a moment. There won't be any shadows there. Think about that just for a moment. Because everywhere we stand, we cast a shadow. But because of the light that Jesus is, there are no shadows. His light just goes everywhere. Amen? His light penetrated the people. His light exposes the sins of the people and reveals divine truth. Don't shout me down when I'm preaching, good. No one can come into contact with Jesus without being enlightened. No one can come into the presence of Jesus Christ without being enlightened. Your life, your sin, your whatever it is, will be revealed in that moment. Because that's what his light does. So, for the Christian, it's the same way for the Christian who is indwelt by the Spirit of Christ. In his presence, we see our sin and we see his glory. See, for sure, a person can refuse to receive the light and remain in darkness. That's your choice. You have to, you know, Joshua said in chapter 24, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. I'm echoing those words of Joshua to each one, whether on the internet or in this room. Today you will make a choice. Today you will make a choice. Well, Pastor, I'm just here to feel out the service and to see. No, you today you'll make a choice. Because you'll either choose on purpose to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, or by default, you will choose by not serving Jesus to serve the devil. Boy, that isn't fun preaching, but it's true. See, when there's only two options, you either serve one option or by default you serve the other. And so we have to choose. That's why Joshua said, choose you this day. In the New Testament it says, today is the day of salvation. So it's a choice we have to make. God's not going to force himself upon you and I. Every person can refuse to receive the light. But whoever comes to Jesus will in fact see His dazzling moral and spiritual excellence and His purity. Turn with me this morning to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. First John chapter 1. If you stand with me this morning, we will read verses 5, 6, and 7. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. This is the message which we have heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But, one of the greatest buts in Scripture, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Father, today as we have read Your Word, I pray, God, that You would impart this Word, not just the Word, but what the Word represents, what this Word, what this passage means to each and every one of us, Lord. Let us recognize, God, that we need to have the light of Christ in us. And I thank You for it. Give me the anointing to share this Word in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, and you may be seated. So, just as Christ passed on the message that He heard from the Father, the apostles, in turn, were passing on the same message that they heard from the Son. Now, here's what happens in America today. If God's Word is convicting to you, or not necessarily to you, but to humanity, let's say to the world, if it's bringing conviction, oftentimes folks will say, well, that was misinterpreted. Let me just make it real clear. This is the message we heard from Him, capital H. So we're talking about Jesus here, right? We're talking about a member of the Trinity, the triune Godhead. We have heard, this is the message we heard from Him and declare to you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. Now, how many of you realize that there's a difference between walking in darkness and being momentarily overcome by something and you find yourself in darkness? Those are two different things. This is talking about a deliberate walk in darkness. If you walk in darkness, we lie and don't practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us. So Christ has passed this message on that He heard from the Father, and the apostles in turn were passing on the same thing, the same message that they heard from the Son. We talked about this on Saturday, I think it was, in our men's breakfast, and then Friday, I wasn't even here on Friday, was I? I'm getting ahead of myself. So it must have been Sunday. Yeah, I mean, I was here, but I was doing other things. But the reality is, every one of us have been called to shed this light. I'll wait. Every one of us have been called. John did not ever use the term gospel, but he used words such as witness and testimony and word and truth and message. These are all things that John declared. He's taught. How many of you know that the gospel means the good news? Listen, I've heard enough bad news to last me for a while. But I've got the good news. And the good news is, if we'll walk in the light as He is in the light, we'll have fellowship with one another. And I'm telling you, that ought to make us happy. We ought to want to tell somebody. Let me tell you something. If I would have, and I don't mean to be offensive, okay, but if I'd have killed a big bull elk this week, everybody would know about it. I've got the greatest news that any man has ever known. But how good am I about broadcasting the relationship that I have with Jesus Christ to a world that needs to hear it? How good are you doing at it? Hello. John's message emphasizes that God is light. Have you ever been in a dark room? I mean, when it's so dark that you can feel it. I do not want to be without the light of Christ. I heard it said around our campfire this week that I'm not scared of the dark. I'm scared of what's in the dark. If we have the light in us, we not only don't have to be afraid of the dark, we ain't got to be afraid of what's in the dark either. Because I have the light of Christ in my life. And so if some grizzly bear eats me, Dennis, would you go sit in the back? No, he'd be weighted down, brother. I'll tell you that right now. Yeah, he'd be in light. Dennis. Listen. Light enables people to do God's work. Light enables us to do God's work. It produces growth in crops. How many of you know that? The light reveals beauty and it provides safety. Light represents what is good, what is pure, what is true and holy and reliable. Light reveals and light shines. Listen, God is so completely light. God is so completely light that there is no darkness in Him at all. May I remind you that science has proven that there really isn't any such thing as darkness. Darkness is a word that we've just brought up, that we've just manufactured or concocted to speak of what is really simply the absence of light. We're being serenaded. God is so completely light that there's no darkness in Him at all. Darkness represents what is sinful and evil. When are most dastardly deeds done? In the dark. At night. Why? Because darkness covers the mess that they're doing. And light reveals it. Darkness represents what's sinful and evil. God is untainted by any evil or any sin. So God is light. That phrase means that God is perfectly holy. He is true. And that He alone can guide you and I out of the darkness of sin. The reality is, however, we have to follow Him. Amen. Light also relates to truth because light exposes whatever exists. Light exposes whatever exists, whether it's good or whether it's bad. Light will expose it. Amen? So in the dark, good and evil look alike. Amen? Light in the dark, good and evil look alike. In the light, they can be clearly distinguished. Just as darkness cannot exist in the presence of light, sin cannot exist in the presence of a holy God. He's calling you and I out of sin and into His glorious light. Darkness can also picture a certain hiddenness and secrecy. A hiddenness and secrecy. The nature of light, however, is to flood and to fill. So what am I getting at? This is what I'm getting at. Our life, when we're walking around, whether we're in the woods or whether at the supermarket or in the mall or at school or at work, wherever, our light, the light of Christ, ought to be shining forth from us. It ought to be flooding the place where we're at, and that something of us ought to illuminate the area that we're at. It's light's nature to flood and to fill. And so while light has many connotations, this reference is pointing specifically to the purity of Almighty God. So those that claim, according to our verse of Scripture, those that claim to have fellowship with God are living in God's light, trying to live holy and pure lives for Him. How many of you know we fail? Hello. Sometimes we just blow it. Aren't you glad that He will rekindle your light? I love campfires. I love the fact that you can take a burnt out coal, a burnt out chunk of wood that is just absolutely cold. At one point it was hot and it was on fire and it was producing not only light, but it was producing warmth and heat and all those kinds of things. But somehow that little coal got set aside. It got separated from the fire. And if you'll pick that little coal up, which we did time after time this week at camping, and if you get it, all you got to do is get it close. And all of a sudden, it'll begin to glow. And it will begin to change. You can see it begin to change color. And you know that there's something taking place because of what it's around. Because, see, the main campfire is beginning to influence the ember, the coal. And the next thing you know, the coal is on fire again, and it's producing heat, and it's producing light. Some of us need to get back around the fire. Church, I'm just telling you, somebody needs to stoke the fire a little bit. Somebody needs to get around the coal. Now, listen, I'm cold. I don't have the same fire and the passion and the drive that I once had. You need to get back to the campfire. You need to get back around and say, God, relight me, rekindle me. I want to belong to You, and I want to live in the light of Your Spirit. I don't want to claim to belong to God and then go on living in spiritual darkness. That's hypocritical. John says, in fact, John puts it pretty bluntly. He said, they're lying. Christ one day will expose and judge such deceit. So John is, in these verses, he's confronting the first of three claims of the false teachers. Number one is that people can have fellowship with God and still walk in sin. No, you can't. John's making that very clear. You cannot have fellowship with God and walk in sin. He's calling us into His marvelous light. He's calling us to let His light expose every bit of darkness that is in us to His light that will be illuminated and it will be dealt with. Why do we go to the doctor? Listen, at least I don't go to the doctor just for fellowship. I go to the doctor because there's something that I need for him to point out in my life. Something that's causing problems in my life. Can I just tell you something? God's Word will do that if you'll just allow it. If you'll come, if God will anoint me to preach the way I feel like He wants me to preach, and if God will anoint you to receive what I'm saying, God will say sometimes some things in your hearing that will bring conviction into your life. Why? Because there's some things that need to have correction. The Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation. He's not condemning us. People say, well, why are you judging me? Why are you judging the things that I do? I'm not. If you're in the world, you're already judged. You're already judged. I don't got to judge you. I didn't need somebody to tell me how bad I was. I knew. We cannot claim to have fellowship with God and walk in sin. The false teachers who thought that the physical body was evil or worthless taught one of two different approaches to behavior. They either insisted on denying bodily desire through rigid discipline, or they approved of gratifying every physical lust because the body was going to be destroyed anyway. And we see ourselves in a world today where anything goes. Anything goes. Well, everybody's doing it. No, not everybody's doing it. I can point out a whole bunch of people that ain't doing it. Isn't it today, Dan? Isn't it today that the Pope and a bunch of high-ranking officials are coming down off Mount Sinai today? With a brand new, mind you, set of the Ten Commandments. I'm not kidding you. Hello. Why would they need a new set if they weren't going to change the old ones? The first set is still plenty good for me. God never said anywhere in His Word, you know, in 2022, we're just going to change it up. Can I tell you today that God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore? He ain't changing it just because somebody don't like what it has to say. His Word brings conviction to our life. And whether or not you and I submit to the correction will dictate whether or not we have peace in our life. God's Word is God's Word. And He ain't gonna make it change just so you feel good about it. His Word has snatched me up and slapped the stinking tar clear out of me. More than once. Today. He never said that it was gonna be easy, Ray. In fact, He let the cat out of the bag. And He said this: the godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And if you're not being persecuted right now, brother, hang on, because it's coming. Not everybody's going to be tickled to death that you're a Christian. Oh, you're a pew jumper. Matter of fact, yeah, guilty. Swinging from the fluorescent lights. I culled that one out. Listen, if your life, my life sometimes, more often than I'd like, my life does not line up with the Word of God. But I'm working at it. I'm trying to walk according to His Word. And I know that the same is true of so many of us. We blow it in our attitude, in our thinking, in our speech, in our actions. It's all that stuff. But God, help me to do what's right. God, I blow it. I blew it today. I've blown it already. God, forgive me. John is stating that no one can claim to be a Christian and still live in evil and immorality. It just doesn't work that way. We have been... How many of you realize when you get saved, you become sanctified? The problem is, most of us haven't taken the time to figure out what it means to be sanctified. So I'm going to help you out this morning. I'm going to help you so that you won't have to leave here and stand before God and say, well, I knew I got sanctified, I just didn't know what it means. Well, let me just tell you what it means. It means to be set apart. Let me put it to you in the terms of the Scripture. We are to be in the world, but not of the world. Those who claim to know God must be living in the light, because darkness and light are incompatible. Darkness absolutely cannot exist in the presence of light. It cannot happen. It does not matter how teeny tiny or minute the speck of light is in the dark. It will show up every time without fail. You will always be able to see it. I like light. And I can remember from the first time I started driving truck to the day I stepped out of one. I could never get enough light. I mean, they just keep increasing the lumens that come out of a light. I just keep buying stronger ones. I mean, when you pulled up behind me, if you had your bright lights on, and I pray that nobody in here did, all I had to do is flip one switch and I could burn your eyebrows off. I mean, I had lights on that thing because I was a lowboy driver and you needed to be able to see behind you when you're loading equipment in the dark and those guys. But they, you know, they had other uses. But it's all about the light. Because I didn't want to walk around or drive around in darkness. Light is what we want. If you claim to be living in the light, we gotta expel the darkness. People can't live both in darkness of sin and the light of fellowship with God, in whom there is in fact no darkness at all. So John chapter 1 John 1 and 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Walking in the light leads to fellowship and with one another. Listen, we're to influence the world with the light of the gospel. We're just not supposed to live there. Amen? We're supposed to just visit. I loved going camping this weekend. But come Friday, I was more than ready to come home. I mean, when I stepped into that shower, and the church said amen, when I laid my head down on my pillow in my bed, it was awesome. When I ate leftovers that my wife had prepared and I didn't have to prepare, it was awesome. I love to go camping. I just don't necessarily want to live there. Amen? I love to be in the presence of the Lord, and I want to live there. Every need that I have is met in His presence. Everything I've ever wanted, I've found it in His presence. Every need for my life has been found in His presence. Living in the light, John does not intend that all Christians should become hermits or mystics or live in solitary contemplation of God. You'll never interfere or interact with or influence the world if you just are a hermit. Hello? The reality is, our fellowship with Christ, our time spent with Him, our time in His Word. How many of you just love technology? Listen, it's here. You can make a choice to use it for evil or for good. Every night at camp, my phone, I didn't have any service. But Fred, bless your heart, helped me download this app on my phone called Audible. And if you've got books downloaded onto your phone, you don't have to have service. You know what I found out? My Bible is downloaded onto my phone. And I would set, I figured it out, Fred, you'd be so proud of me. I figured out that you can set a little timer on your phone. And at a certain amount of time, he just goes away. Every night I would set my phone for an hour. And it would just read through the Scripture, verse by verse, book by book, chapter by chapter, every night. It was awesome. I was completely disconnected from all of the society kind of things, but yet I was still able, even in my sleep, to flood my mind with God's Word. It was awesome. It was awesome. See, We have to understand that fellowship with Christ ought to produce the desire to join others in loving devotion. I love, you know what we talked about the whole church having a camp out. Hey. How many of you think that would be cool? You go? All right. It would just be cool to have a camp out and have everybody there. And maybe a piano, because we can hook that up. Or a guitar, we can hook those up. And just sing to Jesus and worship the Lord around a campfire. Amen? I mean, there's all kinds of things because fellowship with Christ ought to produce something that causes, we're family. Shouldn't family just want to hang out together? There were family members that weren't at camp this year, and it was like a huge hole in the structure of camp. I know I'm making a lot of references, but you just get to hear my illustrations are stuff that I've lived, because I don't want to be so theological that you can't understand what I'm talking about. Everybody can understand what a camping trip is. And if you can't, call me and I'll set one up and we'll go. Because nobody should miss going camping. Amen. Come on. Give me an amen. Glory. See, John's overall argument stresses true spirituality manifests itself in community fellowship. listen to me, fellowship with Christ should produce a desire to join others in loving devotion. And the argument stresses that true spirituality manifests itself in community fellowship. You cannot say that we communicate or commune with God and then refuse to commune with God's people. It just doesn't work. Fellowship means more than some superficial conversation after church or a midweek meal together. Family time's great, but God wants us to spend more time with one another. You know why? Because you get to know one another. The biblical term for all of this conveys the idea of deep sharing of life. Can I tell you something? I've had some serious conversations over the end of a fishing rod. Or sitting hiking through the woods or swimming. I mean, it's in those moments when you can just talk about things. No distractions. It's a deep sharing of life, a partnership together in a common cause, the spiritual oneness that we feel as family. Another result, remembering that the intimacy and the fulfillment of biblical fellowship, whether it's with God or with one another, it requires first and foremost a relationship. A relationship. Because if I don't have a relationship with you, Dennis, when we kind of spar with one another from, you know, the bear's going to be enlightened, if I was some evangelist that came to town and you popped off with one of those, it could be potentially offensive to them. But because I have a relationship with you, I can tell you, you know what, go sit in the back of the church, Dennis. Because we have that relationship. Amen? And relationship allows us to know one another and to be able to minister to one another and to be able to love one another. Dennis knows that I don't mean that he has to go and sit, you know, in the back. He knows that. Why? Because we have a relationship. You don't have to tell everything you know, Dennis. But really, intimacy and fulfillment of biblical fellowship requires, first and foremost, a relationship. Another result of walking in the light is that the blood of Jesus cleanses us from every sin. Isn't that amazing? John emphasized that the death of Christ, the blood of Jesus, is what saves people, not the false teacher's knowledge. The very verb cleanses, it also means purifies. Amen? Back to the fire. Fire purifies. Sometimes we need to get the fire of the Holy Ghost stoked up within us. Sin is not only forgiven, but the reality is the Bible says it's erased. That He has removed my sin as far as the east is from the west. That He will remember my sin no more forever. To me, that's fantastic news. Amen? Sin, by its very nature, brings death. It's a fact as certain as the law of gravity. Jesus did not die for His own sins. He didn't have any. But instead, there was a transaction that took place that you and I as humans may never fully understand. He died for the sins of all who believe. I can't imagine somebody giving their life for me when I know who I am. It's difficult for me to wrap my mind around that. That He loves me not because of what I've done, but because of what He did. While I was still His enemy, He died for me, the Bible says. I'm trying to help you understand this a little bit. When people commit our lives to Christ and identify with Him, His death becomes ours. I deserve the cross, not Jesus. And by substitution, He went to the cross on my behalf. He paid the penalty for my sins and your sins, and His blood has cleansed you and I. And if we walk in the light, the true believers still find themselves sometimes in sin and need forgiveness. And Christians will not be made completely perfect until Christ returns to bring us into His kingdom. Listen, read Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. He'll clear it up for you. You're a work in progress. Amen? He's still working on us. And until then, we ought to desire to walk in the light and refuse to consciously harbor sin. Amen? And when we do sin, we need to know that God has already made provision to deal with those sins through His blood. He died not just for past sins, but for all sins that will be committed until the day that He returns. Every child that is born tomorrow, their sins have already been paid for. Do you recognize that? It's this provision that allows you and I to continue to walk in light, dealing with sin through confession and receiving His forgiveness so that fellowship with God and with others can remain unhindered. How many of you know that sin separates us from God? Sin separates us from God. God doesn't want us to be separated. He wants us to remain in unhindered fellowship with Him. And here's a fun fact for you. While contemporary psychologists attempt to overcome guilt feelings, the blood of Jesus, in fact, makes it possible for you and I to be cleansed from all sin. The psychologists, the psychiatrists, they're just trying to help you overcome your feelings of guilt. The blood of Jesus cleanses us from that guilt. Isn't that amazing? When people understand that God forgives us because of Christ's blood, it's no longer necessary to be under condemnation and guilt. The joy of the gospel is that the blood removes the record of our sins so that we can stand before God pure and holy. My sins have been washed away. Amen. I got a clean slate. Do you know that the devil goes into the presence of God and presents, you know, to God your shortcomings, your failings? Jesus, if you've asked for forgiveness and repented of those things, Jesus looks at your ledger, the court docket. Hello. I don't see that here. He's acquitted. Not guilty. There's no evidence. Because it's washed away. Clean. Listen, when you go home today and have supper, you do the dishes, not in the dishwasher, but in the sink. Put a strainer thing in the sink. Do yourself a favor. Put a strainer in the sink. Helping out all the women right now. Put just because you have a garbage disposal, Put a little strainer in your sink. Catch some of the big chunks. And then, when you let the water out and you see all that mess that's left in there, if some of you are going to do this anyway, and you flip the switch and the garbage disposal chews it all up and it goes down the drain, how many of you ever see that again? Quit it. That's why I told them to put that in there so we don't have to go in there and clean that out. Are we tracking? All right. All of that stuff goes down the drain. It goes wherever that stuff goes. Your sin, when you are washed in the blood, your sin goes away. It's cast as far as the east is from the west. You never have to see it again. The blood of Jesus cleanses you from all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. It's the joy of the gospel that the blood removes the record of my sin so that I can stand before God pure and holy. Listen, don't think you've done it too many times because you haven't. If you're still sucking air, there's time for you to repent. Question is then this morning, with heads bowed and eyes closed and people praying, how about you? Do you need washed in the blood? Do you need your life washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you here this morning? Is there some area of darkness in your life? Let me encourage you this morning. Jesus Christ is here to wash you and I in His blood and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I said this at the beginning of the message this morning, that His desire is that all would come to know the saving knowledge and grace of Jesus Christ. Not everybody will, but His desire is that you will. And today you have a choice to make. I said that. You'll have a choice to make. Choose you this day. Who are you going to serve? Is there darkness in your life? You don't know how to get away from it. Sometimes it just seems to captivate you. You need Jesus. You need the light of Jesus Christ to illuminate that dark place in your life. He wants to wash us away. The question is, will you allow Him? Will you allow Him? Because He won't force Himself on you. That's why the Bible says that we have to make the choice. We have to be born again. Well, what does that mean, preacher? It means believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed His blood and went to the grave and rose again and is today is seated at the right hand of God. All you got to do is say, God, forgive me. I've sinned. Cleanse me. Forgive me. Write my name down. And He'll do it. He'll sure enough do it. But you have to ask for it. You have to ask. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. People all across this sanctuary are praying right now. Maybe they're praying for you. I have a question for you today. Do you need Jesus? If you've never asked the Lord to come into your heart and to forgive you of your sins, to have a relationship that I talked about earlier, if you've never asked Him to come in and establish that relationship between a holy and a righteous and an almighty God, and you and I as sinful people, if we've never asked for that, today's your day. Today, you need to ask that question. Say, God, would You forgive me? Would You adopt me into Your family is another way to look at it. If you're here today and you say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. I need to get saved today. I need to be born again. If that's you today, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I want to pray with you in this place. I want to pray with you, whoever you might be. I can see the Lord working in some of you right now. You have to make the decision. Maybe you're watching by way of the internet this morning and you've got your hand up. I can't see you, but I'm going to pray in just a moment. And if you'll pray this prayer with me, whether you're on the internet or in this room. See, there's something about raising your hand and acknowledging your need. There's something else about getting out of your chair and walking to the front of a building and praying that prayer of forgiveness. See, our flesh would have us stay seated. Don't raise your hand. Yes, you can be just as saved seated in your chair without raising your hand. God knows your heart. I'm not giving you excuses. I just don't want you to leave here today not having Jesus in your heart. I'm going to ask one more time. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart before today, you want to today, I'm going to ask you to slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. Anybody at all say, "Preacher, that's me." Father, this morning I thank you for your word. I thank you for your anointing. God, and for those that may be making this decision undercover, if they just pray this simple prayer, "Dear Lord, come into my heart, forgive me of my sin, write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I'll serve you forever. I thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen." It's literally that simple to be saved. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you that your word has gone forth. I thank you, Father God, that we've spent time fellowshipping with one another. And I pray, God, you bring every one of us back for more fellowship tonight, for your word tonight at 6:00. God, bring your church back together. Bring your body back together tonight. Lord, but go with us now. I pray your peace, your love, and your joy, and most importantly, your light, go with us from this place. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen and amen. God bless you. God go with you. We'll see you tonight at 6:00.